Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Pastor Paul Angelonis, and Pastor Roger Robbins is here with me in the studio. And we're going to talk about forgiveness, as that's the theme for the week. And mainly, we're going to be talking about the role that reconciliation plays in forgiveness. But maybe we can kind of just start out and talking about what forgiveness is. They mentioned it yesterday. Michelle and Jasmine talked about forgiveness yesterday on the show. But maybe we can just maybe give a fundamental or foundational idea of like what forgiveness is and how we're going to relate it to reconciliation. What role reconciliation plays in forgiveness and how much it's important to forgive and also reconcile in relationships. Yes. So maybe you can start us off and like, what do you think? What is forgiveness?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's good to be here with you.
Yeah,
this
fun.
Is cool. I'm a substitute today. I'm subbing and I'm off the bench. They put me in coach.
Yeah.
And it's good to be with you guys. So first thing that I think about is our Bible and our Bible verses and words of Jesus. And we think, Paul and I were talking about this earlier, like how important it is to gather a sense of our own forgiveness as a framework,
yes,
as foundational,
yes,
to even build what can be the greatest turnaround, the greatest sense of power, the greatest sense of healing. What is forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
But before like we even begin, like just to receive and to dwell on and to understand, like meditate on how we have been forgiven our sins. So I think that is kind of our hope today. In a way, like before we jump out and we jump into this beautiful topic, it's like, let's consider our own payment, our own, well, first of all, our own guilt and our own payment for that, for that salvation that we have earned by faith through grace.
Yeah.
And it's like that dwelling point can cause such an explosion of love and of power, and it is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So I think we start there and encourage everyone throughout this week that you would, you know, maybe in a way I was saying earlier to Paul, like, you know, like point the finger at yourself.
Yes.
Like when we wake up.
Yes.
When we start our day, can I start here, you know, and not there?
Yeah.
Or you.
Yeah. Yeah,
or that or this. It's you know, but like, God, you have forgiven me. I need forgiveness.
Yeah.
And from there, like, is the launching out point. And there is the like hope of maybe one day, of one moment, one hour where we find reconciliation with our brothers.
Yeah.
And but even before that, how about reconciliation with God?
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of this, we can experience this hurt and pain and all that happens in our life. No one is absent or can be like not touched by this pain.
Yeah.
However, I think deep down, it's really between us and the Lord. First,
yes,
and that reconciliation coming to us from through Jesus Christ, us receiving it, and then like let's build the framework so that because we've received a ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah, like it's important to start like that starting point is one that I am a sinner. I am like a depraved human being, needing salvation.
Yeah.
Because if I am not, I don't think that I need forgiveness, then I'm not going to be able to forgive anybody.
Right.
Because if, and I think humanistically, we have this idea that man is naturally good that man has. If society didn't impose these things on him, he would actually be a good person. Mm. If people weren't this way to me, then I would be a good person. But the Bible talks about the depravity of man and the things that make us who we are, that in our heart, at our fundamental level, there is this nature that is insatiable, that wants and wants and wants and consumes and consumes and consumes. Mm. And the whole head is sick and the heart is faint, right? And deceitful and desperately wicked. So starting from that point where I am nothing, like I do not deserve anything. Mm-hmm. So I think unforgiveness comes from a place where you feel like you deserve something, or that person doesn't deserve my forgiveness or something like that. So like, I am a sinner. I am, you know, am not able to meet the criteria that, you know, God has imposed on me. And I am therefore need this salvation that you were talking about. I should be condemned. Mm. I should die, because the wages of sin is death. But in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus,
yes,
who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Like mm-hmm. you were saying, I am recognizing that I can't do it, but yeah. Christ has done it.
Yeah.
And my forgiveness is not in who I am or what I've done or what I could do or meeting a checklist or a criteria, but in that Christ has forgiven me.
Right.
And that's, like you said, the starting point for us in any type of relationship or forgiveness of another person. I have to recognize that I have been forgiven, that I don't deserve forgiveness. Mm.
And am I receiving that
yeah.
currently
yeah.
in a certain situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're good Christians, you know? We are good Christians, you know? Like, mm-hmm. we kind of like know our stuff, maybe. Maybe we know and we've been there and done that. But then again, it comes to us and yeah. we go, am I truly receiving
yeah.
this mind of Christ, right? Like Jesus was like, I do not see those accusing you, mm-hmm. condemning you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, number one, no condemnation.
Yeah.
Go and sin no more.
Yes.
Mind of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to go out there. We can be sent out by Jesus.
Mm.
With this starting point.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's so, so important. Like you were saying, do I forgive? Have I, you know, one, recognizing God has forgiven me.
Yeah.
But do I forgive me? Right? Do I forgive myself for mistakes that I've made or for things that I have done that, you know, intentionally or unintentionally have impacted relationship with somebody else or impacted my life in a negative way? Or am I, when I wake up and pointing the finger at myself, I'm saying, you're such a loser. You, mm-hmm. why are you the way, why is your life is, you know, a mess or whatever it is, as opposed to look at who you are and look at who loves you.
Mm.
You know, I'm pointing the finger at myself and saying, I am nothing, but I'm seated at the right hand of the Father because yes. of the salvation that I have
yes.
in who Christ is. And he, you know, became nothing so that we could have this amazing relationship. And I think that forgiveness, you know, and reconciliation, as we talk about these things, it's like, it is relational. These are like, this is something as we interact with one another as human beings, it's such an important part. And we were made for a relationship.
Yes.
Like Christ, within the Trinity, there was a relationship. We're made in the image of God, and we mm-hmm. are designed for this reciprocity of love. God loves me, and I love him. And that's like at the fundamental level of who we are as human beings, we long mm-hmm. for that, and we desire that. And forgiveness is a part of maintaining that type of love that we can have between one another, and
right.
forgiveness is what makes that possible.
It's like an opportunity.
Goes out. Yeah,
right. Like yeah. it's like, how can I grow deeper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to be in a woods by myself with no one around,
mm-hmm.
so no one can hurt me, bother me, offend me.
Yes.
Or
yes.
let's be in a city with lots of people, mm-hmm. or in a big family, or you know, at a job, at a place like where there are others around, other people like me.
Yeah.
God is allowing it to mm-hmm. take place.
Yeah.
And it'll be, if I start this way, then I can go and receive the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
receive forgiveness, this amazing work done by Jesus, and then receive the mind of Christ, then it becomes an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we want to like talk about, like reconciliation experiencing and receiving forgiveness and then giving forgiveness and giving this ministry that we have received of reconciliation is like an opportunity for our lifetime. Like mm-hmm. we can in a way are given like the tools by receiving forgiveness to like really affect the world and yeah. affect those around us.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you were to take away forgiveness, mm-hmm. what tools would we have yeah. to like help each other out?
Yeah, honestly.
Like how
yeah.
would we even live together without yeah. forgiveness? We
yeah.
There are so many other things that we're giving here today
yeah.
in this world that are substituting forgiveness mm-hmm. and can't go more than a mile, can't go more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But we're going to, like forgiveness is going for eternity.
It is. And I think one thing that we were talking about before is about the differences between our reconciliation to God mm-hmm. and then the reconciliation we have between us as human beings. And maybe we can read in Matthew 5, we have 23, right? Is that, so this is more about the reconciliation between human beings, but there's the two Greek words, for reconciliation. Where was the one reconciliation to God? There was a...
Yeah, so katalasso. Mm-hmm. Katalasso is 2 Corinthians 5.
Yes.
We receive the ministry of reconciliation. So that Greek word specifically identifies that there is a just God,
mm-hmm.
the God of the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
He is God and there's no one else like him. And he is just in all his ways.
Yeah.
And he has nothing to apologize for. He has nothing to say, excuse me for, please forgive me for.
Yeah.
And he comes to a lost and dying world through his son, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he buys us back in yeah. the slave market of sin.
Yeah.
And reconciles us to himself. It's God ordained.
Hmm.
This katalasso is of his doing, of his initiation.
Uh-huh.
That is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 24, it says, first be reconciled. It's a different, slightly different Greek word, and it's dilasso. Mm-hmm. Dilasso is of mutual reconciliation. It means that there's two human parties,
yeah.
that are both at fault. Mm-hmm. You know, like one's like, no, there's only one at fault. That's yes. mankind.
Yes.
Between me and God,
yeah.
we know.
He's perfect and we are not.
Yeah, it's yes. Job 38. Like yeah. it's time to like, God's going to ask the questions now. And he's yeah. going to say to Job, where were you when yeah. I formed the earth, right?
And Job, shut your mouth
because yeah.
you have nothing to say.
And it's yeah. like, it's this sit down moment.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful though, because once we are done hearing God out, and we receive, mm-hmm. we believe and receive, yes, this reconciliation is incredible.
Yeah.
However, the one that we have to our brother is that I'm going to him
yeah.
with all my faults and imperfections, that I have received grace and forgiveness just the same way mm-hmm. as the one I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Greek word here. It is not, I go to him katalasso,
mm-hmm.
I am God.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I am just.
Yeah.
And with my sword, you will bow down before me and mm-hmm. you will give me what is due, you know, the yes. forgiveness
yeah.
or, you know, because I am righteous.
Yeah.
So this word is a humble word of reconciliation.
Yeah.
It's really meaning like the way I have been forgiven, right? Like
yes.
we talked about,
mm-hmm.
is now the way we can be forgiven.
Yeah.
Meaning reconciliation.
Yeah.
Restoration in a relationship.
Yeah. And I think like understanding those two different words, well, just understanding being reconciled to God, like it required him coming and being and laying down his life
mm.
in order for that reconciliation to take place.
Yes.
And our mind would say like, oh, well, God is right and he is bringing us in right standing with him. He's, you know, not doing He's doing sure. everything really in that. And we misconstrued it and we say, oh, well, when I forgive, well, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So why should I have to do anything yes. to reconcile?
Sure.
They did this and I did this and I'm not even willing to have any type of conversation or any yeah. interaction with them in order to hear their side of the story or yeah. anything like that. And maybe we'll talk about those interactions, how we recognize when a relationship is reconciled or is not reconciled, because that's mm-hmm. a whole nother layer to this, is where I say I've forgiven somebody, but mm-hmm. maybe I don't, or maybe mm-hmm. I say the words, but in my heart, there's still something that I'm holding against them mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And it's an interesting part of that. The forgiveness that we have is the reconciliation that we have to God is linked with his perfection and his justice and who he is. And I think that's another thing that people have a hard time with forgiveness is that they think someone is being let off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, you wronged me and I'm forgiving you.
Yes.
That means that you don't get punishment for what you did wrong to me. You know, mm. we could use that as a concept. And I think a lot of people look at Christianity and they see it as maybe a weak as it comes to justice.
Yes.
But in this, the catalasso, as we were talking about, God is just.
Yes.
And he is perfect. And he requires payment.
Yes.
Like forgiveness is something that requires payment. Either I forgive, I'm going to pay and I forgive you, or the other one is there's retribution or revenge mm-hmm. or something where you are going to pay back what you owe me. But in this forgiveness and this reconciliation, Christ has made the payment so that we can be reconciled. And this die last go is kind of a picture of that, where we're both being like Christ.
Yes.
Where I am willing to lay this down. And you're willing to lay it down. We're willing to be reconciled. And the payment is both of us making a payment for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being paid both ways, but we're actually serving one another in that reconciliation.
That's like crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a like wild principle. Like,
yeah.
It is so not earthly.
Yes.
Like, this whole principle of reconciliation, I mean, is completely not from man, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. we would never draw this up.
Yes.
You know, like we look in the book of Genesis and we just see how man operates with his sinful self and his iniquity and his ego, right? Like he is not drawing up reconciliation.
Yeah.
We know that the devil's not drawing up reconciliation. Yeah. He's against it. He is tearing those two parties apart.
Yes.
He actually wants them to go in the opposite direction.
Yes.
And so for us to, you know, for two brothers, two sisters, two family members, however we speak to you and to all of us today, like how amazing can it be? And that's what we're trying to say is let's compare and contrast like reconciliation and the different, why reconciliation is different from forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We said that forgiveness goes first.
Yes.
And it's laying the groundwork between me and God. Because remember, later in that passage in Matthew chapter 5, it says that in verse 43, mm-hmm. and you have heard what is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. This is the mind of Christ. Like I have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to go the other direction, not the son of this earth, the devil, the prince and, you know, the deceiver,
yeah.
the wicked one, the destroyer, the accuser, our adversary, but we can be like the son of your Father who is in heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. And he's going to show us a different way. And then it says, it warns us and says, for if you love those who you love, what reward do you have? And do not even the tax collectors do the same. And if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Like, that's what our enemy does. Like, that's what our adversary, the devil, does. That's what he promotes in this world. Like, sure, we can all pat each other on the back. We can all pretend. But the word reconciliation is bringing us on a path to love.
Yeah.
The way of reconciliation is narrow, and there's few that find it.
Yeah.
And so God's drawing us to a deeper place, and it basically says, do not even the Gentiles do the same. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Like, we have the opportunity to be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, just by doing this, just the framework of forgiveness and going onto the road of reconciliation, going on the road of Jesus, we can walk this perfect, like, we have an opportunity to be perfect like our Father is in heaven. Like, like, in a way, it's like commendable. We can walk this earth as Jesus did.
Yeah.
What better way to like live out this life?
Honestly, yeah.
Right? It is so contrary to the world system. They're like, why would you ever walk this way?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would you ever try to reconcile? Burning bridges is better than building them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so much better to burn a bridge.
So much easier.
Because I can be an island.
Yeah.
And islands are great. That's where everyone wants to go these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like, no, Jesus is a bridge builder. Mm. Let's build bridges. Mm-hmm. And so we get a chance to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect.
It's so, like you're saying, it's so contrary. It's just so it's really unnatural. And that's the whole point, I think, of it. Like, we don't want to have, like, we want to look at the things that are not seen and the things that are eternal, not the things that are seen and the things that are temporal. It makes sense for me to respond to somebody in the way that they initiated to me.
Yes.
You know, they hated me, so I'm going
be
to hate them back.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They stole something from me, I'm going to steal something from them. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's like in Deuteronomy, I think, 18. And like thinking about those interactions that we have, like that's just the way that we naturally are predisposed to function, to be around. But in this life that we have in Christ, we've been set apart from those things. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been set apart from working for my salvation. And we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, it's so
we're
amazing.
Really happy.
The free gift of salvation by grace through faith. I'm saved, not of myself, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we love that part of this Christian life where I don't got to do anything. But then I have a hard time actually being set apart in my relationships and interacting with other people. Because that salvation is mine. I'm making a decision. But then in my relationships with other people, maybe it's more difficult for me because now I am living a life that's beyond just my circumstance. I'm living a life that's eternal, a life that's everlasting, a life that is, you know, perfect in who God is. And I'm following in that path, as you mentioned, and I am doing what's unnatural to me.
Yes.
I am letting somebody hit me in the face and I am not hitting them back in the face. You know, he says, turn the other cheek, you know, when he's talking about, Jesus is talking about that.
That's like perfect.
You know, yeah.
That's a perfect moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the not natural thing.
Yeah.
Like, God, through the Holy Spirit, would draw us to that. Like, has that happened to you?
Yeah.
So we have this question, does forgiveness always include reconciliation? This was one of the questions we wanted to throw that was put up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that there's this book. You should show your book too. I mean, we can recommend books. Pastor Schaller gave this to me, my pastor here where I go to church. Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. It's a great book. You should read it. And you can, this is a book you'll read over and over and over again all your life and just be reminded of all the awesome things that, that us Christians need to hear and be engaged with. But he talks about reconciliation and he says, forgiveness and reconciliation are not always the same. Hmm. Reconciliation requires the participation of two people.
Yeah.
The person you forgive may not want to see or talk to you, or they may have passed away since the time of the offense. Moreover, you may not want to maintain a close relationship with the person you forgive. Reconciliation implies a restoration of friendship after a quarrel. Mm-hmm. When a husband and a wife totally forgive each other, it will usually mean a reconciliation, but not always. Bitterness and the desire to punish the other person may be gone, but the wish to restore things to the way they were may not necessarily be strong. So there are a couple things that maybe we could say that are included and maybe aren't included, you know, and one of them is like the passing away of a loved one.
Yes.
There might have been someone in our lives, in our lifetime, and I think it will happen, that we didn't get a chance to talk to.
Yeah.
I recently haven't gotten a chance to talk to someone in a relationship where there was a falling out, mm-hmm. and the part, me and the other party were hurt, and I hadn't seen them for over a year. And then I got to see them.
Yes.
So there was a time of no reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
It separated us in continents. So there could be a body of water that keeps one from being reconciled to the other.
Yeah.
There could be a jail cell that that separates one from reconciling to another.
Yeah.
However, we don't want to put like a time limit on this or like a timer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a countdown.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus isn't teaching us that there's like, okay, after you forgive, now you have a 2-minute timer and you got to reconcile.
Yeah.
Like, the point of reconciliation is that you're led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You're led by the Word of God. Like it says in Matthew 5 that we should leave our altar and put our gift down and go to our brother.
Yeah.
But there's no like time period. It just says go.
Yeah.
So, going can be in a heart attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that R.T. Kendall talks about is in our prayer.
Yeah.
That reconciliation, the start of it can start in our prayer.
Mm.
So maybe that's where we include reconciliation as a starting point.
Mm.
I receive forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I can give forgiveness. Now I'm working on that. It's happening in my heart. As I let God examine me and examine what's happened, right? And then like there's a slow process where God will lead me. And as R.T. Kendall says, like prayer was one of the first foundational elements of restoration.
Mm.
So I think that's interesting to note that there are also, and then maybe one more thing that you mentioned, which maybe you should comment about, is like how the other party might not want to see us be with us right now.
Yeah.
So that's also a very real thing that we have to, in a way, like it's hard to accept it.
Sure.
And especially when one party is truly, repentant and sincere, like we are sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. However, we're not able to get near.
Mm-hmm.
I would say face to face, right?
And
and it can't happen.
Yeah.
So there is a time. There is a layer of time here where we are going to like be asked to like just walk in the Spirit and be led by God. And it could take a long time. I mean, we hear a lot of stories, and R.T. Kendall talks, what I love about this book is he gives a ton of examples as he's led by God to preach this message of total forgiveness.
Yeah.
So encouraging read, but that's one, maybe a couple little elements as to why reconciliation isn't always included right away.
Yeah.
But what would you say? Would you say ultimately it is?
I think like there's the reconciliation, as we've said, is dependent on both parties. If those parties are accessible to one another, in the obviously if there's a family member who has passed or something like that, I am reconciled to God and I'm trusting Him. I have forgiven. I am no longer letting this, my inability to tell them that I forgive them hang over my head or something like that. But in our, the relationships that we have in our lives where there is the potential for reconciliation, like the capability is there, it requires two sides. It's a two-way street, this reconciliation process. And the thing that's interesting is I can't expect the other person to have the same conscience, to have the same life, to have the same faith, to have the same viewpoint on this relationship even, or the situation as I do. But I can lay down my life or lay down this thing so that there is the potential for reconciliation. Yes. I can't expect somebody who does not have the life of God, does not have the Holy Spirit, does not even have a relationship with God, I can't expect them to forgive me or to reconcile with me because of the things we said before. Naturally speaking, it is not natural for us to forgive one another or to let somebody do me harm and I'm not going to return the favor, or I'm not going to, you know, because in their mind, maybe it's the same thing's going to happen again, or whatever the case is. So I think in this reconciliation, we have to recognize it's a two-way street where I am trying to reconcile and have a relationship with somebody, and maybe they don't want it. And as you were saying, maybe it's just for a time that happens. And the reality is I have to sometimes give that reconciliation over to God and trust Him with it and say, okay, I'm letting God, I want to reconcile with this person.
Yes.
This is not the time that they want to reconcile with me.
Right.
And I can push and I can push and I can try to make it happen on my own. But in some cases, we have to give it over to God and trust Him that, okay, I am longing and desiring for this relationship again. And the other thing about it is we sometimes long and desire for the relationship to be the same way that it was before there was an issue.
And it might never be.
Which more than likely it will not be the same relationship because of however severe, whatever the situation was, whatever the hurt was, who did what to whom, there may never be that restoration back to how it once was. Mm-hmm. Because of whatever the situation is or the circumstances. So I think this idea of us being reconciled or restored, we're thinking, oh, we'll just go back and act like it didn't happen.
Right, like we're going to go on vacation together.
Yeah.
R.T. Kendall says that. It's not like we're going to go back on vacation.
Yeah, together. It's like you can't.
That's
like,
okay.
Yeah, it's not. And the reality is maybe it shouldn't be the way that it was before. Yes. Because if we can go through something and we can be forgive one another and be reconciled to one another, how much greater, how much stronger will that relationship be? Maybe be different than it was before.
Yes.
But in a better way. Yes. And we get so hung up on like, oh man.
A refined way.
Yeah. Can we just have it be the way that it was? Yes. It's like, I don't want it to be the way that it was. I want it to be better than it was.
Yes.
And the restoration, the reconciliation can make that happen. And the only way it can happen is if we are recognizing that, okay, I was wrong and you were wrong. And maybe if I don't, even if I like didn't do anything wrong in my perspective, am I able to, you know, the other person saw it as me being doing something to them. Can I like admit, can I say, I don't know what I did wrong, but they think I did something wrong. So I'm going to apologize.
Yes.
For what that is. Ask for forgiveness. Yes. Maybe not ask for their forgiveness because I don't really feel like I did anything wrong. But have an attitude of where, you know, I'm apologetic. I am willing to say, okay, I don't know exactly. Can you explain what I did wrong to you? And not so that I can rebut everything that they say. Like, oh, well, you did this to me. Well, I did that because you did this. You know, those types of conversations with just circular conversations that go nowhere. But can I let somebody like allow me to you know, humble myself, really the humility that, you know, that we have in our reconciliation with God. I humble myself and say, I can't do it. Thank you, Lord, that you can do it. And in the same way, I'm humbling myself and saying, okay, you know what? I don't know what I did wrong. It doesn't make sense to me, maybe in my mind, but I want this reconciliation with you. So I, you know, don't want anything to be between us.
Yes.
So I didn't mean this that way. And I don't know if you'll forgive me or not, but I am, you know, laying down my life really so that it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. So, cause Christ laid down his life and, forgave. So like in that way, that's how we are walking in that path that he's laid before us, is I'm forgiving, I'm reconciling so that I can have the relationship, not so that I can prove I was right, not so that I can, you know, drum up all the things that came between us or whatever. And maybe that means I have to do that in my own heart because they don't want to see me, or they don't want to talk to me, or they don't want to interact with me. But I know maybe one day we can have that reconciliation. And if not, I can trust in God and say, you know what, Lord, this is a relationship that I'm longing for. And go in prayer, like you were saying, go in prayer and say, Lord, this relationship is one that you know, I need in my life this, or, and maybe I could say, well, they need me in their life, you know, and we can be prideful in that way, but also like we need relationship. Yeah. And I can go to God and pray and say, Lord, give me this relationship. And I don't know what I did. I don't know. And give me the words to say or the attitude to have so that there's potential for reconciliation.
You just like, you just said like three or four practical things. You literally nailed number three. We have our questions up here, guys.
Okay.
How does one practically pursue reconciliation when it's possible following forgiveness?
Yeah.
You just said like, have the right attitude, right spirit, right? Like you said, like, am I prideful or humble about this?
Yes.
You know, how am I coming into this relationship, coming back into it? And then you also said like, it's not about like, how is this relationship started? 2 Corinthians 5 says that from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Like, if I want the relationship to work out, it's not because I want it to be a fleshly one, because a fleshly one is just going to offend you anyway again.
Yes.
It is not going to, you're not going to find the healing and restoration that we long for. Mm-hmm. We're not going to find the satisfaction that we desire. So it's told to us that we can't regard anyone according to the flesh. Even we even regarded Christ according to the flesh. Mm-hmm. So the practical elements of this process, I think the word pursue that in this question here is very interesting, because Jesus said in Matthew 5, go, leave and go. So I think it is completely overlooked in 2023 that we would just like throw out a text message. Yeah. We would like, I don't know, like have some conversation with someone. We shouldn't be having a conversation about this issue of offense.
Yeah.
Like we're too quick to talk about it. Like when Joseph was offended and the brothers came to the court in Egypt, he said, get everyone out of here.
Yes.
Even the interpreter, because he was so broken and he didn't want anyone in Egypt to know what his brothers had done to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like he was so cautious about what was being said and what people were hearing. So that was an element there. And this leave and go principle in Matthew 5 is a principle of singularity. It's on you. And so this is coming from a heart of love. Like this is the heart of love, because in 2 Corinthians 5, guys, we've received the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. He gave it to us, right? And then he entrusted us with this message. So we have the ministry, the very Holy Spirit, Word of God, and we've received the power to do it. So it can't just be in word only, but it has to be in a way confrontational.
Yeah.
Like it has to be like, I need to see you. I want to show you. Like the Father is waiting for the prodigal son. Like his arms are open wide. We see this throughout I think of 1 Samuel chapter 25, Abigail.
Yeah.
Like coming to David and being like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Like we need that. And R.T. Kendall talks about this, how he was very careful to share about who knew about his situations where people had hurt him. And he said he was so thankful that he only told one man of God. And this one man of God told him that you have to totally forgive. And he was the one man that said, leave and go. So I think there's that principle there that we need to find our Abigails. Like if you don't have one, find one that's going to say to you, it's not going to come from a text message. It's not going to come over email, but pray that it could come face to face, that you could go to him alone. And if you win him, there's a great reward. You are perfect as Christ is perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I think there is all these practical ways, attitude, mind, heart and love.
Yeah. And I think like one thing about this forgiveness, you know, there's the assumption that there has been a wrong done against somebody, right? I'm forgiving you for a wrong maybe you've done to me or maybe you've done. In Luke chapter 17, it talks about, you know, in verse 3, it says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. But so maybe we can just talk just as we're finishing up. This is like a whole nother layer, which, man, you know, we're just going to keep going. But like just the aspect of like forgiveness is not saying that wrong things are good. Mm-hmm. You know, saying that what you did was right. Forgiveness is, you know, recognizing that the thing was wrong, agreeing that the thing was wrong, or determining in my, like, if I am forgiving you, you and we're reconciled to one another, we agree we were both wrong or one party was wrong or however we do that. Like, there is this sense that maybe, okay, you're just like glossing over what happened. Like, you're just going to keep doing it again or whatever. And in some ways, this reconciliation, we could say, is we just want to go back to like it didn't happen, but it did happen. So like, and the trust that's developed in a relationship is dependent on that, reconciliation.
Sure.
And also on like recognizing those things in my life that caused this schism between us, mm-hmm, potentially. So the rebuke that's happening, it talks about in Galatians chapter 6. Also, Paul talks about, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we can have this idea in our mind when we're seeking forgiveness for somebody else or we're wanting someone to forgive us, that we, you know, this restoration requires, you know, me to harshly address whatever the wrong was that was done. And in some cases, maybe that is true. You know, you've sinned against me in a very serious way. Mm-hmm. You know, you've done something that is, you know, some may say is unforgivable.
Yeah.
And how am I supposed to just sit over here and let you get away with doing that thing? But the reality is that, like we said before, God is the ultimate judge, not me. That doesn't mean that I have to pretend like that thing didn't happen. That doesn't mean that I have to ignore and now just trust that person again like I did before. Mm. And that's an important part of this reconciliation process, is the building of trust.
Yeah.
You know, while like forgiving somebody, being reconciled to them, but also knowing that this trust is not going to be on either side, is not, mm-hmm, going to be back to where it was as a result of this thing. Now, I'm not hanging something over your head, but I may not do the same things that I did before, mm-hmm, in order to prevent another issue happening between us. And that's not because I don't think you really forgive me, or, mm-hmm, I don't think you've really reconciled to me, but I just want to be trusting you in the appropriate way, mm-hmm, as a result of the thing. So like we're forgetting those things that happened in the past and looking forward, but also like those things in the past do impact the way that I make my decision today. Mm. I touched the stove yesterday. I'm not going to touch the stove again, yes, today. If I did, that would not be me. I wouldn't be, you know, learning from my experiences or growing really. So that's part of this reconciliation process too, is that I am recognizing the wrongs that, mm-hmm, have happened to me or to somebody else. Is it a continuous thing in somebody's life? And I can care for somebody and forgive them for doing these wrongs while addressing things in their life that are causing these types of wrongs that are happening.
Wow.
And I can do that in, yes, a gentle way. I can do that in a considerate way where I am saying, I know you don't mean to be doing these things, but the decisions that you're making in your life are not reflective of you being forgiving, mm-hmm, or you wanting reconciliation with me, because you're continuing to do the same thing, mm, over and over again. And like I said, this is a whole nother layer, a whole nother rabbit hole to go down, but it's such an important part of it, because it said in Luke 3, like, rebuke those who sin against you. Mm-hmm. And then if he repents, forgive him. Like that's mm-hmm. one, like some people could say, well, I only have to forgive people if they repent.
No,
if they don't repent, then that means I don't have to forgive them. But that's not what it's saying here, but it's saying that we are to forgive in all things mm-hmm. Because of the relationship we have with God, because of this forgiveness that we've received, we are able to forgive others, but I can respond and address those wrongs that have been done to me and also forgive. It's not it's not a either or.
Well, and also it's like, this is the principle of Jesus. Like if a brother wanders, like we want to bring him back. That's James 5:19. Like if he wanders, like go to him and speak the truth and bring him back and you've like gained a soul.
Yes.
Like bring him back. Like, so everything's going to boil down to like, what is the heart attitude? Mm. What is my spirit?
Yeah.
Like we're going back to this, like pointing the finger.
Yeah.
Starting here. And I was just thinking, like, I think a great, passionate, beautiful read, guys, that we want to give you to read is The Life of Joseph. Like, I mean, just if you want to get a million practical, I mean, not a million, but just so many unending practical understandings of forgiveness and reconciliation, even when it's not possible, like Joseph in jail, Joseph in Egypt, Joseph far away from his family, please read The Life of Joseph with his brothers in Genesis. You can start, you know, 39, even there's so much to talk about, but 37 all the way to 50.
Yeah.
And it will speak to the words that we shared with you guys today. Mm-hmm. And then the practical elements, I think it's like, how do we start?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be a great way how we're going to finish this?
For sure.
If I start with me first and I take care of like, and receive what is needed, then I am going to start on the right foot as I go forward.
Yeah, because the reality is I can't force somebody else to forgive me or to reconcile with me.
Yeah.
But I can control like my heart, how I view them and what I'm doing. And maybe that can even frustrate somebody because I have forgiven and it's no longer a burden and it's such a big burden on their shoulders. But I can't control all those things. So this reconciliation is such an amazing opportunity for us, I think, in growth as human beings in our following in the path that Christ has led before us. And it just brings so much joy, I think, to our lives just it because is. Of those
Let's
relationships that
it.
We can have. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well,
get me out there.
Yeah. Let's go reconcile.
Come on.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe to the Grace Hour Show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and all the other places. And join us the rest of this week as others talk about forgiveness.